2014 is a banner year for U.S. community foundations. It marks the centennial anniversary of the first community foundation. It was formed in Cleveland. We are one, and thank goodness spread beyond that, we are one of more than 1,700 independent operating community foundations in the United States. So now it's my pleasure to tell you who these people are that you're looking at up here. Starting down on the right, Dan Beto and Donna Beto, who Judge was able to find some people who would say some nice things about him. So thank you very much. You met Tom and Caroline, and on my far left, my flashy blonde wife, Lily Downs. The absolute first time anyone has ever introduced a Downs by starting with on the far left. Lady who serves on the committee here and has served on the committee to put on this event for many years, Candy Rust. Candy, thank you very much. She told me she's in charge of two things, keeping up with Ann's glasses and making sure that she has enough light to read by, so we both have our cell phones fully charged. So see us stand up. And then Caroline, it wasn't really tough for her. She just had to kind of narrow the field down, but Ann Wyatt will be speaking to us on behalf of Caroline today. We're honored to have elected officials with us today. This is the part that people who have stood for elections love the most, the fact where we tell them you have to stand up. I'm sorry. But College Station Mayor Nancy Berry and Leonard are here with us. Thank you, Mayor. College Station Council Member Blanche Brick and her husband Bob are here. Oh, there we are. Okay. College Station City Council Member Carl Mooney is here with us today. Carl? State Representative John Rainey and his wife, Elizabeth. Where did they go? There we are. I could kind of do the Joe Biden and say, Elizabeth, stand on up. How much longer? 8 weeks. Charming. I remember I was in a wheelchair for a while, had surgery done, and there's really, if you know you're going to be able to get out of one, that's the first thing you want to do. For one thing, you cannot open the doors at the mall, I'll just tell you, bang, bang, bang. And with us also today are Brian Mayor Jason Bianski. Jason. And I want to thank all the people who honored Caroline and Tom with their sponsorships of this event. You can see a list of the sponsors in your program. A lot of people there, so I guess you didn't put them all in jail, Judge. In addition to the people that are in the brochure, we'd like to also thank Susan and Flip Flippin and Francis and Timothy Ware. Thank you very much for your support here. Before I introduce Jorge Bermudez, I wanted to mention the decorations on the tabletop. You see those, the ones you can see over and the ones you can't see over? We're selling those today, not the part. There's a lot of rules here, okay? This last year we sold all of the decorations. We sold all of the floral arrangements for people's wives and husbands and helpers and people at the office and your desk and everything. We sold them all. Money goes straight to the Community Foundation Operating Fund, something that is near and dear to all the folks on the Community Foundation's heart. And so we're doing that again, and just because it went so well last year, we added more flowers. We don't ask much, Caroline, just a little. So they're $20. You should have a card on an envelope on the table. If you just slide a crisp new or a raggedy old $20 bill in there, you're more than welcome to take the floral arrangements with you. As I said, there are many rules. The really tall ones, you can't have the bottom part, okay? Just take the flower off the top, otherwise we lose our deposit. Anyway, it helps the Community Foundation of the Brazos Valley. $20, can't be beat. We also have some more out front on the table if someone just goes ahead and scarfs your flowers before they do. So, with that out of the way, it's my pleasure to invite Jorge Bermudez, the chairman of the Community Foundation, to the podium for a few words about what it is that we do.
Ben, thank you very much, and thank you all for joining us today and allowing us to be part of the recognition of two wonderful people, Tom and Caroline McDonald. There's no doubt that they're giving back to the community has been one of the greatest factors that has helped this community continue to grow and develop the way it has. And we're fortunate and honored that you allowed us the recognition. I would also like to take this opportunity to recognize our Board of Trustees, and I'm going to ask them to stand up if they would. And in addition to the Board of Trustees, I'd like to ask also Sarah Miller and Derek Dixon to stand up. Would you do so, please? The reason I'd like for them to stand up is because there would not be a community foundation without the support and hard work that these folks do for us. And so thank you very much for what you do. There is one last thing that I would like to just make note of. We have a new president and executive director who will be taking over on June 1st, and that's Patricia Gerling. Many of you know him. Patricia, would you stand up? Patricia has been with Texas A&M for a number of years. I won't say how many, Patricia. But she's getting ready to retire, and she's going to be taking over the Community Foundation as president, and we're very honored and proud and lucky to have her and her leadership to help us move the foundation forward. So thank you very much. Thank you.
Everything always sounds so much classier when Jorge says it. Yeah. Before we begin our meal, Reverend Darrell T. Hay of St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Bryan, who's a close friend of Caroline and Tom's, is going to give our invocation today. Following his invocation, please enjoy your lunch.
Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. Before we pray, I've been asked just to say a few things about the impact that the Community Foundation has had on St. Andrew's and our ministry. And I will be brief, even though you probably haven't heard a brief preacher very often. I will be brief. I am new to Bryan College Station community, and I have been glad to learn about the Community Foundation and the support St. Andrew's receives from it. Through the funds we receive, we're able to provide scholarships for youth of our church to attend camp near Navasota, our diocesan conference center and youth camp there. That's one thing that the foundation makes possible for us. Since I've been here, I've learned that and observed that the city of Bryan and the merchants of downtown have worked very hard to revitalize downtown, and I hope and I believe St. Andrew's is doing its part to support those efforts. At St. Andrew's, through the foundation, we are able to maintain the grounds around the historic building that we have improved and enhanced over the last several years. And then lastly, as a downtown church, we have a responsibility to minister to those around us, and so we use the money to support outreach in the community. So the work of the Community Foundation of Brazos Valley makes a difference in our life at St. Andrew's. Those who contribute to it and through its ongoing work, the foundation helps us to make an impact on the community, and for that, we are grateful. So thank you. So let us pray. Almighty God, whose loving hand has given us all that we possess, we give thanks for all those who have generously given of themselves to make the Community Foundation of the Brazos Valley possible. Especially do we give thanks for Caroline and Tom McDonald, whom we honor this day. We ask you, O God, to bless and uphold the work of the foundation, and through your loving support, may it continue to improve our quality of life in this region of Texas. Help us, we pray, to be faithful stewards of the resources that you have entrusted to us, so that we may promote all that is good in the life of our communities. This we ask in your holy name. Amen. Thank you.
As I mentioned earlier, this is the 10th year of the Community Foundation of the Brazos Valley, 10th year that we've celebrated the good deeds of caring and giving people in our community. This is also the 10th year that our benevolent partners have helped make this event so successful, and it is successful. We extend our great appreciation to those community partners you'll find listed in your program for their generosity. And we especially want to thank and recognize and offer our sincere appreciation to the businesses that have supported this luncheon for the entire 10 years. Insight Printing, Post Oak Florist, Copy Corner, Mark Seitz Photography, Mara's Gallery and Custom Framing, and the Hilton College Station. Thank you very much. Jim, before you take a bite, Jim Singleton, how much are the centerpieces?
$20.
Got through. Good.
Don't take the big glasses.
This man is on his game. $20 in the envelope. You can have the flowers. You can even have these. Right, Caroline?
Yes, sir.
You can have all of them. Right, Caroline?
For
$20 each. Just don't take the big glass things because, I don't know, they arrest you at the door. I don't know. But anyway, we also want to thank our presenting sponsors, the Bank and Trust, DeBrien College Station, and Atkinson Toyota. I also want to call your attention to the complete listing in the program of all the funds that have been established with the Community Foundation, and there's also a brief summary of what the Community Foundation does. Representing the Community Foundation of the Brazos Valley is Jeff Harris, past chairman of the Community Foundation's Board of Trustees. Jeff, you're up.
Thank you.
No, you can do this.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. As Ben said, my name is Jeff Harris. I'm an estate planning and probate attorney here in town. I actually grew up here. I see a lot of familiar faces around the room, so thank you for being here today. I'll direct your attention to some cards, little brochures that are at each table. Those are cards from the Community Foundation that have information about various types of funds and what the Community Foundation is about. If you have any questions about that, either today or in the future, please feel free to contact our new president or current board members or even past board members like me. If we don't know the answer, we typically can find someone who does. I've handled this portion of the program a couple of times now for the Community Foundation, and to be honest with you, I've struggled a bit with how to tell you about it without saying the same thing again. I don't want to have all of you experience deja vu. Many of you were here previously when I told a story about an elderly client of mine who came to see me about preparing a will. What she wanted to do was leave $100,000 to a small local charity, but she was worried that they would blow it if she gave it to them all at once. So after a discussion about the cost associated with a private foundation and the relative hassle that she might have to go through to do that, she just decided to cut the gift back to $10,000 and move on. Well, that day, our local charities lost $90,000. I know because I did it. And rather than expand upon that story that I've told in the past, I decided today to do something a little bit different. I want to describe a scene for you. It's a scene that plays itself out all across our community. It's usually around mealtime in a small room somewhere around a table. They sit. At the head of a table, there's a bank statement, well-worn. The pages are shuffled and turned through. How can this be? There's not enough money to last. What meager savings there was, if there was any at all, is gone. They worry. They know that the money won't come for a long time. The next check is a long ways off. Too long. How will they buy food? How will they pay medical bills? Utility bills? How will they pay for housing? Who pays the musicians? How about the artist? You see, the group I'm describing is not one of the many families in our community that lives paycheck to paycheck and struggles to make ends meet, but it's the board of a local charity. By and large, our local charities are forced to live paycheck to paycheck with no financial cushion, no savings account, The Community Foundation was created to provide and to be that missing savings account. Now, I don't have to tell you all gathered here today about the value of savings and investment. You all know it. You live it. It's why you're able to be here today. Savings and investment are crucial to the financial health of any family, and our local charities are no different. The purpose of the Community Foundation is to facilitate and service a charitable endowment that will support our charities, to be their savings account. Now, I'm not, and the Community Foundation is not asking you to take your usual gifting or your giving and divert it to the Community Foundation. No. Keep supporting your chosen charities. They need it. But if at some point in your life, or maybe even upon your death, you decide you want to do something more, to leave a charitable legacy perhaps, that's when you should think of the Community Foundation. Think of the savings account for all of our charities. Thank you for your time, and thank you for coming today, and most of all, thank you all for all that you do to make our community such a great place to live. Thank you.
Okay. Got the glasses, got the light. Hang in there, hang in there. Almost there. Ann Wyatt is a native of Huntsville, Alabama, but is a proud honorary Texan. You probably heard a lot of people who said, I got here as fast as I could, but Ann is one of the few people who actually has a certification from the governor of the state of Texas indicating she is an honorary Texan. How do you get one of those? I got to have one of those there. Ann and her late husband, Bob Wyatt, were the first couple to be honored by the Community Foundation of the Brazos Valley at this inaugural tribute luncheon way back in 2005. Ann will be speaking on behalf of Caroline. She's known in the Bryan College Station community for her commitment to volunteerism, and we are very pleased to have her speak today. Ann Wyatt.
Thank you, Ben. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for coming today. I'm here today to speak about your and my precious friend, Caroline McDonald, who's also known as Sweet Caroline. It's almost impossible to talk about Caroline without bringing Tommy into the picture. Today, Tommy, you're Tommy instead of Tom. When speaking about the McDonalds, it's always Caroline and Tom in the same breath. They are such a loving and devoted couple and do everything as a team. You call for one and you usually get both, whether you want it that way or not. It's very refreshing to me to know that there's still couples like that that still exist. I'll try to zero in on Caroline today to give you a few facts from my personal perspective. They're not included in my remarks are not included in your program today. Caroline Sweeney McDonald was reared in Brownsville, Texas, and was the eldest of Leafy and Peyton Sweeney's three children. And as the eldest child, Caroline became her father's little tomboy, or should I say tom girl. At a very early age, she and her sister, Mary Peyton, learned to hunt and to fish. Their dad taught them early on. And since they lived on the Texas coast, their frequent fishing trips were fun-filled days. Caroline even became quite an angler, and she's still passionate about her fishing. As Caroline really enjoyed, and she enjoyed her skeet shooting, she's pretty good at it. And with all of her experience in hunting and fishing, you might want to be aware when you see her coming if she has a rifle or a shotgun with her. In her early teens, Caroline became an exhibitionist. Well, please let me explain quickly. She took great pride and pleasure in showing her prized Hereford bull, Pete, in special exhibitions at her family's Sweeney Family Farms in Brownsville. I want to go back a little bit in time. Perhaps one of the busiest and exciting years of Caroline's life occurred when she was approximately 10 years old. Inasmuch as her dad owned the Brownsville Country Club, it was only natural that Caroline would take up the game of golf. She did learn the game, and throughout these many years, she has continued to play. She says she doesn't take her golf too seriously, but having played with her over the years, and after viewing all of her trophies, I know better. It was also at the approximate age of 10 that another milestone occurred in Caroline's life. Since 1918, her family has owned the Coca-Cola Company franchise in the Rio Grande Valley. To digress here just a second, just mentioning Coca-Cola makes fond memories of me for mine when we could get a cold Coke for 5 cents. That's a nickel each. At any rate, Caroline's dad, like many of our dads, must have ignored the child labor law. He gave his young daughter, Caroline, her first summer job working at the Coca-Cola plant as an accountant. Well, sort of an accountant. She was accounting and accounting all those nickels that came in each day. I might add, she also had to roll them. For several summers, Caroline had that same job with added duties, of course, as she got older. It was probably those summer jobs that piqued her interest enough that Caroline would study accounting officially at the University of Texas. She treasured her days at UT, where she blossomed into the lovely Southern lady that she is today. Caroline especially enjoyed her affiliation with her Pi Phi sorority, and has for many years worked with the Pi Phis at Texas A&M. It was at the University of Texas that Caroline met precious Tommy, who was in law school. They were married in 1965, and 2 years later, they would move to Bryan, Tommy's hometown. Both Caroline and Tommy immediately became involved in their church and community, and they haven't slowed down to this day. I first met Caroline, the beautiful, sweet, charming, and sometimes shy, yes, shy Caroline, in 1967, shortly after her arrival in Bryan. The first project that we worked on, a community project we worked on together, was helping a mutual friend organize a St. Joseph's Hospital Ladies Auxiliary, also known as the Pink Ladies. For years, every Monday morning, you would find Caroline and I in our pink uniforms volunteering at the old St. Joseph's Hospital in downtown Bryan on 27th Street, doing whatever we were asked to do, such as front desk duties, manning the cash register in the cafeteria, delivering meals, flowers, and mail to patients, and sometimes that we even counted sheets. That sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S, not S-H-E-E-P. It was while doing pink lady duties that Caroline and I discovered that we had a lot in common. We had both been candy stripers in our hometown hospitals while still in high school. Both enjoyed cooking, entertaining, traveling, playing golf and bridge. And we loved people and had a genuine desire to help others. Just a few months ago, another commonality surfaced. Embarrassing, but true. Neither Caroline nor I know or even want to know how to pump our own gas. That's Tommy's job. After their precious sons, Scott and then Dawn, entered into Caroline and Tommy's life, They became loving and doting parents, and of course now are doting grandparents to their five-year-old son, grandson, Hunter. However, they've always continued their commitment to volunteer activities. Over the years, they have participated in a large number of charity fundraisers, sometimes even as performers, I might add. From acting in St. Joseph Hospital, Paint the Town Pink Follies, to performing in the Follies at the Junior League charity balls on numerous occasions, they have always met the challenge. Having worked with Caroline in many organizations during these past 46 years, I will tell you, her volunteer efforts far exceed those of perhaps 10 people combined, mine included. She has accomplished much in her lifetime, quietly, with dignity, charm, wonderful sense of humor, and always with that beautiful smile. She is one of the most thoughtful and caring ladies that anyone could ever know. Caroline never forgets special occasions or events in the life of her family or her many friends. She possesses a special sensibility to show up at just the right time and usually with a small gift and or consoling words if needed. Probably due to the fact that she is involved in so many organizations and knows so many people, Caroline McDonald is in the know, as many of you are aware. No one knows it better than Tom, than her best friend, Tom, her beloved husband. However, on Wednesday evening, the 5th of November, 2008, Tommy, Scott, and Don pulled off the unthinkable, a surprise birthday party for Caroline. The secrecy needed to keep Caroline out of the know was an intricate, clandestine operation involving all family, friends, a famous chef and his staff, and an array of friends that avoided her for days, each afraid that he or she would foil the plot. Tommy tried to wear a mask of calm serenity, but underneath, a knotted mass of anxiety lurked. Secret planning meetings took place at friends' home. At one such meeting, a cell phone rang. Caroline calling. The whole room went silent, and as the friend made a hasty excuse to call her back later. Then Tommy's cell phone rang. Caroline calling, where are you? Caroline asked. I'm out checking on some concrete work, Tommy replied. Those in the room nearly burst with surprised giggles. Tommy, pale, with his forehead glistening, turned to his fellow conspirators, his voice shaken, says, I just don't know how bigamists do it. The evening of the party finally arrived. Straight shooter Jim Singleton picked up the McDonald's and began a convoluted tale, even confusing himself, and that's hard to do for Jim. And he arrived, as they arrived at the Christopher's World Grill, by a prearranged signal blinking headlights, a pickup truck backed out, and a parking space miraculously appeared. The unsuspecting Caroline walked into a fun-filled evening as family and friends sang, Sweet Caroline. This time, she had not been in the know. Today, I'm the one in the know. Tommy has been quoted as saying that marrying Caroline and bringing her to live in his hometown was, quote, probably the best thing he has ever done. Well, I know it is the best thing he has ever done. I also know that the Community Foundation could have searched all over the country and not have found a more deserving couple to honor at this luncheon today. Thank you for sponsoring this special tribute to my friends, Caroline and Tommy McDonald. Thank you.
Thanks, Ann. Not only were you and Bob the first recipients of this honor, but you're also the first speaker to ever use bigamy and exhibitionism. Good job. Dan Beto, who has known Tom and Caroline since the early 70s, has devoted more than four decades to the criminal justice system. He served as Brazos County Chief Probation Officer from 1979 to 1991 and was the founding executive director of the Correctional Management Institute of Texas at Sam Houston State University. Retired since 2005, Mr. Beto now devotes his time to a variety of charitable endeavors, service on the boards of several professional and civic organizations, and consulting on matters related to correctional policy. Today, he took a little time out to talk about his good friend, Judge Tom McDonald. Mr. Beto.
Thank you, Ben. Found in St. Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth is the passage, "It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful." Here the great apostle is telling us whether we are rich or poor, influential or insignificant, brilliant or mediocre, God expects us to use whatever we have, whatever talents we may possess, to his fullest and to the betterment of mankind. When I read or think about this passage, Tom McDonald comes to mind. Because above all, Tom is faithful. He is faithful in his relations to his family and friends. He is faithful in the performance of his varied vocational tasks. He is faithful in his concern for the welfare of his community, state, and nation. And he is faithful to his God. The fact that we're here today to pay tribute to Tom and Caroline speaks to their faithfulness. In addition to being a devoted husband and father, Tom has recorded a distinguished career in the justice system as a prosecutor, judge, and mediator, a career that has brought him significant recognition. He has also been a community activist, involved in countless projects over the years that have improved the Bryan-College Station area. In fact, on most of the successful initiatives that you find in Bryan and College Station, you'd be hard-pressed to find any of them that don't have Tom's fingerprints or DNA on them. In preparing my remarks today, I contacted a number of Tom's colleagues, past and present, and asked them to provide some thoughts. Tom Krampitz, former executive director of the Texas District and County Attorneys Association, now in practice in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, wrote, "When I think of Tom McDonald, especially in terms of his public service career, I see a man fearlessly committed to being an honest steward of the public trust. In Tom's view, the offices to which he was elected were not his personal possessions, but rather a means by which he could work for the betterment of his community and profession. Tom also has a gift for being totally straightforward and transparent. You never need to guess how he's feeling or what he's thinking. These qualities are increasingly rare in today's political windsock environment, where so many office holders are simply guided by popular public opinion. A storyteller without equal, a man who can be serious without taking himself seriously, a man who is a giver, not a taker. That is my friend Tom McDonald, and I'm blessed the Lord put him in my path." Now, Bill Torrey, the district attorney in Milam County, Texas, provided these thoughts. "Tom McDonald gave me my first legal job as his only assistant district attorney in 1977. May I say that my resume was very slender, so I was particularly grateful when he offered me the job. As I've related to Tom on several occasions over the years, 1977 was perhaps the best year of my life. When I interviewed with Tom, he stressed that I could jump my full length if I came to Bryan. Indeed, he patiently taught me to be a real lawyer and gave me real responsibility. It should not be a surprise to you that although I worked for Tom a mere 9 months, I asked him to swear me in as Milam County District Attorney on January 1, 2012, some 35 years after we met. Bradley Smith, one of Tom's assistants when he was a district attorney, who went on to become a district judge in Brazos County and in Fort Bend County, wrote, "Many public officials are content to go along to get along and continue practices because that's the way we've always done it and because it is a safe political course. Others see ways on how to improve the system and are willing to rock the boat. Tom was always ready to try something new that he felt would be an improvement. He can look back with pardonable pride that many of the innovative practices and procedures he advocated early in his career have now become commonplace throughout the state. In recognition of his visionary work, Tom is the only judge to have received the State Bar of Texas' two highest awards, Outstanding Jurist for Civil and for Criminal Jurisprudence. Brad's assessment of Tom is shared by others who have referred to him as a judge ahead of his time. Prominent local attorney Fred Davis offers these comments. I met Tom McDonald in the 1970s when I moved back to Bryan to practice law with my father, the late A.W. Head Davis. I had been a prosecutor in Dallas and was used to a big city, fast-paced, rough-and-tumble, depersonalized sort of criminal justice system. Tom was the Brazos County District Attorney at the time. When I made his acquaintance and began to practice as a criminal defense lawyer, I expected Brazos County would be different, but I had no idea how much different it would be. Tom seemed to know just about every criminal in the county, or at the very least, someone in the family. He also knew many of the victims and their families. Tom was always willing to listen to everyone's side of the story. This was an entirely new concept for me. The result was a very personalized, customized, tailor-made sort of approach to each case that best served the interest of justice and the people of Brazos County. It is fair to say that there has never been an elected official in Brazos County who knew more people or more about what was going on than Tom McDonald. Later, I practiced before Judge McDonald just after he became judge of the 85th District Court. After he retired and became a mediator, I participated in many mediations over which he presided, some of which were very difficult. When I think of Tom McDonald, many things come to mind. The first is that he is fair-minded. I have never seen him take a position that was arbitrary, capricious, or unreasonable. Next, I think of infinite patience. Tom has always, and I do mean always, taken time to listen respectfully and thoughtfully to what everyone has to say. Then I think of being a peacemaker. Tom has an uncanny knack of finding common ground among even the most contentious parties. Finally, I think of someone who has the heart of a servant, and the same may be said of Caroline. Their contributions to this community defy measurement. In fact, I would go so far as to say that if you ever wondered whether a particular charity or civic project was worthwhile, find out if the McDonald's are involved. If they are, you can be assured that you should be also. Finally, Travis Bryan III, former Brazos County District Attorney and now judge of the 272nd District Court, had this to say. Tom is a man of the people. He knows humanity about as well as anyone I've ever encountered. Not only that, he cares deeply about those he knows. Tom is truly dedicated to his family, his church, and his community. Whenever I run into him, he is usually involved in some great effort to benefit one or the other. Nobody can recount a funny story better than Tom McDonald. I still laugh to myself as I vividly recall some incident he has described to me in his own unique fashion. I am always happy to see Tom coming. You just know a good story is soon to follow. When Tom was district judge and I was a wet-behind-the-ears 32-year-old district attorney, we disagreed and clashed on some things. But now, as a judge myself, I have realized he was right on a lot of things and I was wrong. I learned a lot from the Honorable W.T. McDonald, Jr., mainly to treat each human soul that comes before the court with dignity and respect, no matter who they are, regardless of their station in life or what they have allegedly done. Contained in the comments of these five men is a common theme consistent with the faithfulness message found in the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Corinthian Christians. Many years ago, my father had an occasion to spend some time with Tom at a reception at a judicial conference. And a few days later, he called me and said, "Say, the other night I had a very nice visit with your friend Judge McDonald." And then he went on to say, "You know, he possesses a wealth of obscure information." And my father was right. But while obscure, much of that information is highly relevant. As I've traveled around with Tom, I have found, and I suspect many of you have, he can engage in conversation with any person on almost any topic. And in conversing with these people, whether it's the shade tree mechanic, the laborer toiling in the fields of the Brazos River bottom, to the university professor and the corporate executive, he can talk to them all on a meaningful level, and he can communicate that he cares about what they have to say. And this is one of the qualities that makes Tom so valuable to the Brazos Valley, because through these many conversations, he is able to identify areas of need and subsequently act on them, and we are all the better for it. Tom and Caroline McDonald may well serve as examples to us all on how we might appropriately direct our energies and talents to the betterment of our fellow man. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Caroline.
Now join me as we recognize the honorees of the 10th Community Foundation Tribute Luncheon, Caroline and Tom McDonald.
It's a very tough act to follow. Thank y'all so much. Oh, my soul. Y'all, this is like speaking to the choir. You all are the ones. Y'all have worked side by side with us, gotten us involved in so many different organizations that we wouldn't give anything in the world for. I have the shortest speaking job here, because you know who wants to do most of the speaking. I would like to introduce our family who has come to town, and this is very, very special to me. Our sons, Scott, would you stand? Don, and very special guest, Amanda Bagwell, Don's fiancée, who came to town yesterday from Kerrville. Drove to Belton this morning at 5 o'clock, took her final exam for her master's, drove back, and is here for lunch. And it was a surprise. And I fell apart, and I said, you might have to do CPR on me. I was so excited to have her. And my sister and brother-in-law, Mary Payton and Bill Cochran from Charlotte, North Carolina. My cousin, Sandra Wilson, from Austin. My cousins, Ann and Bob Duncan. And what is so special, they all have ties with the community one way or the other. It is just totally amazing. We were standing out in the hall and said, they've been to school with some of them. Their children have been to school with some of your children. And so, anyway, it's very special they could join us today. I am very touched, as you can tell. I will sit down when he takes over.
Needless to say, I join sweet Caroline in her thanks and recognition to you all. In the essence of time, I won't repeat, but we are very grateful to each of you all for your presence here today. Very meaningful to us and to this community foundation and to our community. Someone mentioned, or several mentioned, about that I tell stories. Well, I tell stories because they involve people, and they usually involve things that are meaningful and happy most of the time, I hope. And so I will indulge you just for a minute or two to tell a story about community organizations going back as far as I can recall and my first involvement. Let me have some water over here, please. Thank you. Back in the early 1950s, Brazos County had a population of around 38,000, and there were very few community organizations, and particularly there were very few that involved young people. And so we had to make most of our own entertainment. And along with some of my friends, we would gather during the summer when school was out every morning around 7 or 8 o'clock on our bicycles. And I mean real bicycles. It had the big tires, no gears. We didn't know what helmets were. And we didn't wear anything but a pair of shorts or a swimsuit. Sometimes we wore shoes. If we did, they were usually U.S. kids, high top. And we'd have our baseball gloves on the handlebars. And we decided what we were going to do for the day. And that consisted of many, many different varied things. Sometimes our dogs would go with us, but most of the time they had better sense because it was pretty hot. But we would ride out and go around trying to find a sandlot baseball game with enough to be involved. Couldn't do that. We decided maybe we ought to go and find some golf balls in the municipal lake, which is now the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course. Didn't know at that time that it was heavy laden all in the bottom with arsenic. So we would root around and pick up golf balls and go sell them to the pro shop. We did exactly what the EPA said you shouldn't do, is stir up the bottom, because that's where the arsenic was, and if you didn't stir it up, it wasn't too dangerous. But we stirred it up quite a bit. And that's why me and some of my contemporaries, if you ever see us at the right time some night, there's a big glow coming. And it's not from being bald-headed. It's because of this arsenic that we were probably doing those times. Sometimes we'd take road trips. One time we heard that the Girl Scouts were using the Boy Scout camp up Camp Aramoon, and we wanted to see if they were using our troops' campsite. So we rode up to Camp Aramoon on our bicycles. Another time we heard that there was a watermelon festival in Navasota, and so we rode down there. Sometime we'd ride out and see how the Brazos River was doing. Well, we would meander around, and needless to say, in a small community, there were no secrets. Our parents would know probably by nightfall, or by sure they'd know by the next day. So in those days, community service organizations, as I'm pointing out, were reactive to a situation, not proactive as we now are very fortunate to have. So one night we all went with our dads to a big meeting at the courtroom in the courthouse. And there was a man that came to tell us about Little League Baseball. And he made a very nice presentation. And then he asked for questions and answers, at which time one of the dads stood up and said, "How soon can we get this started? We've got a group of these boys that are wanderers. They're wandering all over three counties. And we've got to get them busy and burn up their energy and give them some organized activity." So that was the way it was in the 1950s. Today, we are very fortunate to have very many good community organizations. We're very fortunate to have the Community Foundation, as Jeff Harris told you, to have a reserve or savings for many of these organizations. So we've come a long way, a very long way since the early 1950s. And for that, I'm very proud of every one of you all in this room having been a part. And I'd only hasten to add that we do need to stop every once in a while and remember that the real measure of life is what we leave after we're gone. Because oftentimes what we give and what we can leave behind can last a long time after we're no longer here. And in that regard, the Community Foundation is one of the entities that can do that in a very efficient and fair way. Now, what I really believe that all of us want to do by leaving something behind is to leave this place better than when we found it. As a amateur horticulturist. I love to plant trees, and I have been for many years. And that brings one of my favorite Greek proverbs to mind that simply says, a society grows great when old men plant trees under which shade they may never sit. One time one of my sons asked me why I was planting these little seedlings. This was just a few years ago, but to him I was an old man then. I really am now. And this is what I told him in so many words. And that's the way it works in all of our community service. That's why this community is so caring and so giving. It's because of generous people like each of you who are the living proof, the exhibit A's, of why we've got a great community here in the Brazos Valley, and why I, among many of you all, should be and are very proud to be a part of it. I want to thank you all again, and Godspeed.
We're not done with them yet. We have a couple of presentations that we would like to make. Be made by Lena Lawson, the chair of this event and has been the chair for a long time. And thank you very much, Lena, for all that you do for us here. I had one thing to do, hold these.
He's a good helper. Good afternoon. Well, today, Caroline and Tom join a circle of amazing and fabulous individuals that have been honored the previous 9 years, and I see a lot of them out in the audience. If you've been a past honoree for the tribute luncheon for the Community Foundation of the Brazos Valley, can you please stand and let us recognize you? There's quite a few of you here. You know who you are. We actually have several presentations we want to give today to Caroline and Tom. Before we do this, it obviously takes a team of people to make this luncheon happen. So if you've served on the Community Foundation of the Brazos Valley Tribute Luncheon Committee, will you please stand and let us honor you as well? You know who you are. We've actually changed this up a little bit. I've asked Ben to be my Vanna. And if you don't mind, Caroline and Tom, do you mind standing as we make this presentation with Ben?
We don't ask much.
It is a great pleasure today that we present this proclamation from Texas Governor Rick Perry commending you for the enduring spirit of service and philanthropy to our community. It's beautifully framed, too, by Myra's framing. We also have a proclamation from the mayors of Bryan and College Station and the Brazos County Judge dedicating today, April 29, 2014, as Caroline and Tom McDonald Day in the Bryan College Station in Brazos County area. The Community Foundation is proud to have the opportunity to honor the McDonald's today because they personify the communications mission of improving the quality of life in the Brazos Valley. We thank them for all that they have done, and obviously for what they will continue to do. Had to plug that one in there. Because they obviously make our community a special place to live. We'd also like to present them this beautiful portrait. I don't know if many of you have seen it. It's over here on the right. It was in the lobby during registration. Mark Sykes Photography did the picture, and then Myra's Framing did the framing, and it's actually a gorgeous picture. It almost looks realistic, so I can only ask you, please do not touch it. And last but definitely not least, we are pleased to announce that the Community Foundation will establish an endowment fund in their name. The Caroline and Tom McDonald Fund will generate grant funding for Brazos Valley nonprofit organizations forever, and each year they will have the opportunity to let us know which organizations they want to support. Caroline and Tom, congratulations. We appreciate everything that you do for our community.
It's an honor when you have an opportunity to honor people like this. And I thank you very much for agreeing to take part in our little event today so that we could kind of tell you how we feel about you. That's the end of it for a little while. Don't let them get away. Whatever you do, let them know how much you appreciate what they've done for our community, for Bryan College Station and the Brazos Valley. Remember the foundation, your legacy for good forever, and also don't forget to buy these flowers. All right. Thank you very much. Have a great rest of your day.